Welcome to the salty sea, the sifting sand, and the shining sky known as the Corals and Coriolis podcast. Tonight I'm going to do a bit of an unscripted episode here for number 7, and it will include my opinions of how one can become enamored of the cruising vacation, even if one has grown up as a naturalist or an ecologist. There are ways around the glamour and glitz of a full-blown luxury cruise line, and I will explain more about those later. Now, I grew up as a backpacker, and my father was one who would lead high school students out into wilderness settings. He also would take us on excursions up to western Washington State, and we would go to the Olympics, and we would go to the Cascades, and we would just explore and have a great time. There was one point where I was 9, and we did what was known as the 30-mile hike, and it was over the Great Divide of the Olympics. We started out at Hurricane Ridge and ended up, if I remember correctly, in the Dosey Wallops. It was, of course, 50 years ago. So needless to say, there is a little bit of a lack of ability to remember some things, though I do remember an old goat. Well, actually, it was a very adolescent goat at the time. That we got up to the top of a ridge. It was a long climb from, I think it was called Lost Lake. Forgive me if I'm getting names incorrect, but right at the top of the ridge with on this trail, there was this goat. It had maybe a 4-inch black straight horns going back. And having grown up near the L.A. County Fair, needless to say, petting a goat wasn't necessarily anything that one would worry about or be dangerous in any way. And we were within 10 feet of this goat who stopped and looked at us. And I trotted up and put my hand on its rump and felt the warmth of its skin and the wool, and I still remember my hands kind of open right now as I had it when I touched the goat, and I still have that feeling. Anyway, the goat started and trotted a little bit and then looked back at me like, whatever happened, and did I deserve that? And it walked off, and my brother and my father started breathing again because they thought for certain that I was going to be skewered by those horns, which could have caused a lot of gore damage. However, it as little experience with humans as I had with wild mountain goats. So becoming a vacationer when one sleeps out in the wilderness and has all of these extraordinary experiences looking at stars and feeling the winds and looking across mountains at glaciers, the natural experience is one that I had grown up with, and that was one that I had adhered to for many, many years. When my parent-in-laws, God bless them both, took us on a free cruise. Couldn't say no. I had a young boy. So we went with them. I enjoyed it. I believe it was the Carnival Jubilee. And it was fantastic. We went down to Ensenada, if I remember correctly. It was nice. And since then, I'd been on several other cruises. I just had grown to enjoy having my room cleaned up at night and having my food whenever I wanted it. And if I wanted a beverage, I could do that. It's just a convenient and extraordinary way to be able to enjoy being out on the ocean. And certainly being out on the ocean is something that I have done most of my life. There was one very close call on a little blue sailboat with an 800-pound keel. I think it was all of 21 feet, maybe. And it sat low in the water. And my uncle and my father took my cousin and I out, and we decided to go around an island nearby, and it's called Protection Island. It's a bird refuge now, but we could get close to it back in the 60s, 70s, early 80s before it was deemed a national bird reserve. And so we went around the eastern spit of the island, and suddenly the waves were just about taller than the top of the cabin in this little sailboat. And my father and my uncle were extremely worried. They had thought that they were going to take us all the way around this island. However, they could just barely get the thing turned around in time when they could, and then race back around into the protection part of the island. It was very unnerving, but I am not afraid of the sea whatsoever. I have been a scuba diver. I have done boogie boarding. I've done body surfing. I love the sea. Just to be able to be out on the boat, just sit and look at the periodicity of the waves as they're going by, and judge, where the swells are coming from. When we went sailing in Cabo San Lucas recently, I was noticing that there were waves coming up from what seemed like the south and the ones coming out of the north and west. It was interesting to look at the mix of where storms were pushing waves towards us. So, for those people that I know, and I have three individuals that I have talked to about cruising, and they have said, I'm really hesitant because it really is not a natural experience. And I can, as you can hear from what I've said already, see that I have that same feeling, though I get to enjoy it from a different way. These three individuals I have talked with, and what may suit them best would be a smaller ship and more ability to interact with nature at a closer level. If you're on an expedition cruise, and I believe that Viking has come out with one of late, you can go, you can have kayaks, you can have ribbed inflatables. This Viking ship that's newly created, I believe it's out now, even has a submarine, a bathysphere that you can go in and look around the environments that you're at. So this then would be one way that a person with a natural inclination would be able to experience a less crowded situation and be able to enjoy the natural world around them. These ships being small enough that they could come into very narrow areas and be able to impact the environment the least. There's also the Windstar cruises, which are luxury, but they are sailboats, and you would impact the environment less that way. From the seas to the sands to the starry sky, this is the Corals and Coriolis podcast. Thank you for listening, and please support through coralsandcoriolis.com.